Throughout the season of Lent, we have been walking with Jesus through wilderness and teaching, healing, and hard truth, pruning and promising. All of it has been preparation for what lies ahead. Now the road brings us to Jerusalem and the climax of this drama. Let us listen.
The air is still cool this spring morning.
Good morning, Naomi. How are you today?
I missed seeing you yesterday. Were you away?
Oh, yes. We were just arrived this morning. We were visiting the in-laws in Nazareth. My husband stayed there to be with his aging father. You know, it's hard to be alone at the feast.
My husband is still sound asleep, but he'll be up and hungry soon. Aside from the familiar chatter of sparrows, it's blessedly quiet. But my mind is elsewhere. I can't stop thinking about yesterday.
What happened yesterday? Did I miss something? Did you tell me about our neighbors?
No. This time it was not Abraham and his wife.
Then what? I'm sure there's a lot of people in town for the Feast of Passover. Was there a riot? Did the Roman soldiers?
Listen, I've lived in Jerusalem since I was a young girl. Even now, with my hands wrinkled by time and my dark hair turned silver, Passover is still an exciting time in our city. The streets and rooms expand to accommodate the pilgrims who arrive from Galilee, Judea, and elsewhere. I suppose the crowds are part of what makes the Romans nervous. This year, however, they seem even more watchful than usual.
What happened?
So much racket. Shouting, singing, feet rushing. I went out to see for myself, and there, coming down from the Mount of Olives, was a man riding an animal. At first, I could not see clearly through the crowd, but I listened.
And then what happened? What did you hear?
I heard one man asking with surprise,
"Is that the teacher from Nazareth?"
Another woman said,
"I've heard he heals people."
And a young girl yelled to her mom,
"Why is he riding a donkey?"
Everyone was so curious.
So then, we had a parade coming to Jerusalem yesterday? And oh, I missed that? And who was this man? A teacher.
Indeed. I couldn't keep the amused smile from curling around my mouth. This was no war horse in a typical Roman parade. As the man got closer, I saw for myself the child was right. He was riding a donkey of all things. Spontaneously, people started cutting down nearby palm branches.
Palm branches? Why?
Let's wave for him. Here are some branches. Let's welcome our king.
They took off their cloaks to lay on the road as he passed. The momentum was building as he made his way toward me. The chanting was infectious.
And what were they singing?
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is he who comes in God's name.
It seemed the whole city was alive with praise, yet I stood there silent, taking it all in.
Wow, I wonder what kind of statement this Jesus was making.
Somehow it felt like both a celebration and a warning all at once. You know, my husband is a respected local leader in this city, so I've heard plenty of suspicions about this teacher.
Did you get to see him? Tell me, what did he look like?
As Jesus passed by me, his eyes seemed to see the city as if he knew it well. In one revealing moment, though, he turned and looked at me. Suddenly, everything else faded. I saw a glimpse of heartache, compassion, true peace, tr- true shalom. It was a look I've never seen before.
Oh, look, Jesus stopped. Why did he stop?
Jesus is weeping.
Weeping? Why is he weeping, Mom?
He is weeping for our city. He is weeping for Jerusalem. He is weeping for us. Will we it ever know peace? Will we ever know peace?
Oh, he must be a very special man. But wasn't the parade dangerous, you think? What about the Roman soldiers and our religious leader? What do they do?
I saw peace in his eyes, but his coming to town felt like a disruption without weapons, a protest without protection.
Why wasn't Jesus concerned about the authorities' reaction?
I do not know. I could already hear the Roman parade's familiar cadence in the distance.
I know. They come to show us who's boss.
Later, after I'd returned home and started preparing dinner, my husband arrived upset.
Why? What happened?
My husband explained that Jesus caused a huge scene when he got to the temple and angrily flipped over tables. Tables of the merchants who exploited the poor. The religious leaders were indignant.
Oh dear, this is going to be a Passover like no other. Indeed. Who does he think he is? The Messiah? The Emperor? The King?
Sure, the Empire is violent and dominating, but I've always tolerated it in exchange for some sense of security. If we follow this Jesus of Nazareth, where will he take us? That's what I can't stop thinking about.
Could he be the Messiah? Is it possible that he is our promised King? Who is your king? Is Jesus your king? A king?
Jesus? Really?
It is not a victory march, but a celebration of possibility. A public prayer sung in the streets, sung by people daring to imagine a world shaped not by domination and fear, but by mercy and peace. Or maybe it is something more complicated. Maybe their protest is born of righteous longing for justice. Maybe it is fueled by bitter anger and resentment. Maybe it's both at once. The crowd wants deliverance. They want dignity. They want their enemies humbled and their suffering to end. But what kind of ruler, what kind of kingdom will satisfy them? At this point of the story, we do not know yet. Where do you see this dynamic today? To follow Jesus on Palm Sunday is to step into that crowd, to identify with them. It is to lift our voices with the hopeful and the furious, the faithful and the fed up. It is to stand inside both their righteous anger at injustice and their small, half-formed political misunderstandings of what God's reign really is. With them, we lay down what we have, like branches on the road, trusting that God can grow a new world out of the worn-out soil. We follow the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We follow the one King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Amen.